is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Gives us the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, who begins an internal work in us. And that internal work begins to change our heart and our perspective. So our sin will never condemn us, but our hearts begin to change. Scripture says, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete that work. So that work, if it's not going on in the heart of somebody, there's probably not the Holy Spirit in that somebody.
The Lord can use you in every stage of your life. In today's message, Pastor Troy speaks directly to those more learned in the church. There's never a time when you can retire from service to Jesus. The younger folks in the church need the benefit of your experience and the wisdom that you have to offer. If you think you have nothing to share with others, you are greatly mistaken. In fact, there's only one you in the body of Christ. Without your effort and input, the whole body will suffer. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock in Hebrews chapter 2.
There would always be the need for a flood if God didn't have a plan in place to redeem. Because mankind, left to themselves, have a bend toward evil and selfishness. And selfishness puts us at war with one another. So in Christ, we find ourselves laying ourselves aside, picking up our cross, denying ourselves, and there's a unity in that because we're all focused on Christ. We're all following after Him. We can see and follow God now because He came and lived an example for us, being the light of the world. We don't see everything in subjection to Him because sin still wreaks havoc, but we have the promise that there will be a day that Christ will return and everything will be in subjection to Him. Everything will be put under His feet. Every knee will bow. But for now, we call it the age of God's mercy, God's grace. See, the whole world, because of sin and self-centeredness, is headed towards judgment. We're born headed towards judgment because of that fallen DNA that we have. And in the end, there will be a separation. And we had no hope except Christ. Jesus told a parable in Matthew of the dragnet. And the dragnet was just this net that had weights on it that would go toward the bottom of the sea. And then on the top, they would hold it and drag it in. And they would drag all the way until they got to the shoreline. Or shallow enough water where they could start separating things. And Jesus told a parable about that, that this life is a lot like that. And that in the end, when the dragnet finally comes ashore, there's going to be a separation. We're all moving toward that separation. And the dividing line is Christ. What did we do with Christ? So Jesus has come to regain that which was lost by men, that we might put our faith in Him. How? Verse 9 tells us that He might taste death for everyone. See, the reason Jesus came as a man was to die, because the wages of sin was death. And we were all accountable for our own sin. Responsible for our own. We were all going to die. So now the flesh dies, but then after that was the judgment. And we had no hope. But in Christ, He paves a way for us that was not there before. That if we put our faith in Him, we could escape the final death. We still experience the consequences of the fall. Our bodies die. But Paul said that now, because of Christ and his resurrection and ascension, to die is to leave this body of death. It's to leave this body and to depart and be with the Lord, which is good. In fact, he said, I don't even know which I prefer. He says, I really want to go ahead and go and be with the Lord. But because God has a purpose for me, I remain here for you. And so as a Christian, we begin to learn that that's the mindset that we need to have. It changes everything for us and causes us to become a family in him. Verse 10, we read, for it was fitting for him for whom all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons to glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Another thing that the humanity helped Christ with was humanity. His humanity enabled him to bring many sons to glory, many family members into the fold. Jesus became a man so that he might pay the penalty for our sins and that he might intercede for us concerning the wages of the sin which we owed as mankind. And in place, he earned a righteousness that didn't exist before in mankind's world, so that those who would believe in him could exchange, make an exchange. Our sin atoned for, paid for at the cross through Christ, who is perfect, who owed no debt. And we are clothed now. We're given as a credit his righteousness. If I were to credit your account with a certain amount of money that you couldn't possibly spend for the rest of your life, I mean, you could try, but you just could not do it. You could buy a plane. You could buy anything you wanted. You just could not outspend the amount that I deposited into your account. That's the idea of God's righteousness being given to us. He covers our sin, all of it. We could never outsin the righteousness of God. You can't do it. But also, he gives us the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, who begins an internal work in us. And that internal work begins to change our heart and our perspective. So our sin will never condemn us, but our hearts begin to change. Scripture says, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete that work. So that work, if it's not going on in the heart of somebody, there's probably not the Holy Spirit in that somebody. Which means it doesn't matter how many times you come forward for an altar call and cry and really enjoy a message. There's not that seal of God in that life. There's no transformation going on. There's no life in that body. We're dead in our sins and our trespasses. But God does a work on the outside and on the inside. Externally, sin covered, you never have to worry about that again. In fact, that atonement on the cross atones for every sin for everybody. Well, what about my pagan friend's sin? Atones for that too. That's not even the issue anymore. The issue for that person is Jesus Christ. What has he done? Sin's been wiped out, blotted out. But if you don't accept Christ, then you're going to stand in your own sin, which was atoned for. It was paid for. If that's what you want to do, then that's the freedom of choice that we have. But it's not what God wants for us. He gave his life. He tasted death. He was sinless. And yet he gave his life that we wouldn't have to experience that final death. And he brought many sons to glory. By entering death and defeating death, Jesus paved a way that didn't exist for us before so that we were able to follow him. See, there was never a connection between fallen men and the glory of heaven and eternal life. We had lost that. So how do we get there? Well, no man could ever do it. Not even the great Moses could lead the people into the promised land. He could redeem them, but he only got to take them so far. Someone else had to come, Joshua, and take over and lead them into the land. No man was ever able to fully save men or mankind. But Jesus did it all. As we sang earlier, he paid it all. He came and he died that he might form a family on the basis of faith, which is the church. We put our faith in him when we follow him. Our faith is revealed by our willingness to follow him. Faith isn't just a feeling. Faith isn't just this standing still and I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. Faith is an action. Faith is following. James said, you say you have faith, but no works, no action, no follow through, nothing I can see. Show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. So that it doesn't sound like we have to do works to be saved. What James is saying is, show me your faith in such a way that I would go, I can't tell you're a follower of Christ. And I will show you that I am a follower of Christ by following Christ. You won't have to ask questions. That's what James is saying. No one should look at you as a Christian and go, they say they're a Christian and, you know, I think they're good. They don't cuss, you know, and I don't see them drink much, but, you know, there's really nothing else. They should know without a shadow of a doubt that person follows Christ. Don't invite them to the party. They're no fun. Those things are said about us all the time as Christians. We're fun. Trust me, we can be fun. We can have fun, but not their kind of fun. It's an exciting life to live for the glory of God. Very exciting.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
This idea that God is the father of every human being, it's actually not biblical. He's the creator, and he does refer to sons of God, the angels, the sons of God, you know, in that sense that I have begotten you, you know, I'm the creator. But in the sense that we are his relation, we have a relationship with him. We're related as sons, daughters with our God. That's not for all, but only for those who believe. John chapter 8, verse 42 through 44, Jesus said to them, that was the religious leaders and others who were by, he said, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. There was a girl that I knew. I say a girl, she was maybe 22, 23 years old. And She kind of came with this argument that, you know, I just don't believe in hell because, well, think of it this way. It just doesn't make any sense. Would you, as a father, if you had kids, would you take your kids just because they're not perfect and put them in the oven and burn them and cook them like a cookie? Like, oh, that's kind of interesting, but yeah, and I'd eat it too. No, I wouldn't do that. I said, but you're missing the point. We're not all his children. But what about dogs and maggots and mosquitoes? You know, God created them too. Mosquitoes for sure are going to be judged. And so he's not going, oh, my little mosquito. Oh, my little human being. You know, it's just my creation. They're my children. No, we lost that. We became rebellious toward him. So that we're what the Bible calls lost and dead in our sins. But it's those who believe in him, who have a relationship with him, that he invests himself so much into. Christ became a man to make a way for us to become children of God again. See, we're called by God. He's beckoning for us to enter that relationship with him where he is your father, where he is close to you. But it's a decision that we need to make because we have to come through Christ. And there is no other way. Our relationship with him is based upon our relationship with Christ, our coming through Christ. You must, as the Bible says, be born again in Christ. Then you will have access to God as your Father. So Christ became a man, and we are able to become children of God again. And verse 14 says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. When death entered the world, our whole perspective changed. Now, it's one that, it's the only one we've known. We have a limited time on earth, and so we think in terms of, before I die, I would like to. We fell under the power of death, and because of that, we've been in bondage to something called the fear of death. So Christ came to deliver us from that. Death to us, no big deal. I'm looking beyond it anyway. But for many in this world, the fear of death is bondage to them. It's a bondage that angels don't experience and don't need help with, but we do. And so many are held captive by it. Some are scared to do anything because of death. They're afraid. I'll lose things. I'll lose everything. I'll lose my life, my livelihood. And so we're afraid to do anything. Others are driven to do things that they shouldn't do because they take the other perspective. Before I die, I got to do this. And they do things that they shouldn't do. They're afraid they'll miss out. The fear of death can cause us to chase the wrong things or to be so careful that we don't chase anything at all. We have termed in our short, limited lifetime called humanity, a phrase called midlife crisis, an ailment. And what it means is we've gotten to a certain age now where I'm past my prime years. It seems like I'm on the downhill turn or I'm at least peeking at it, and I haven't accomplished everything that I would like to. I'm not the wealthiest man in the world. I haven't been president once or twice. You know, I haven't done everything because there's so much more to do. And we make some bad decisions based upon this timeline that our body is so used to having. And we do the wrong things because of it. But Jesus is the one who promised us life, true life, a rich life with the limited years that we have, but then beyond that too. He promised us life abundantly, and he knows what true life really is. If you want an exciting life, like the person who would say, before I die, I gotta do all these things. If you want that exciting life, then follow Christ. Because he will lead you into an exciting life. If you're a daredevil or a dare angel, he will lead you into a life where you deny yourself and you are trusting in him and him alone. It'll be exciting. No life can be more exciting than following Christ. Or if you're the secure type, I like security. I don't do anything because I'm afraid. There's no more secure place than being in the hands of God. And he will balance that because you'll walk by faith. He'll bring you out of your shell. You'll do things. Oh man, I can't believe all the things that I'm doing, but I'm so secure in the process. There's no more secure life, as well as no more exciting life than following Christ wholeheartedly, full with reckless abandon. And it's not reckless when you follow Christ. Don't fear death or allow death, the fear of it, to alter your course. But trust the Lord. Be careful of those midlife crises, especially men. We can do, you know, we talk about the terrible twos and wow, man, what a phase. And then the teenage years, what's going on with my kid? Those things are true. They really do happen. But something else that happens in many men who are not established firm in Christ is they get weird again because they'll go through this midlife crisis. And it's not an excuse. It's not a valid excuse. It's simply the fact that we're still so attached to this flesh and we're living so according to it that we're being manipulated by it to act weird and to do the wrong things. Because Christ, he tells us to breeze on through this, man, and to look to the eternal things. Death is just a passageway to one of two eternal destinations. Instead, here's what you do. Here's what you can do. Go ahead and die to yourself now. You're dead. Done. That's what the Bible teaches us. Pick up your cross. Deny yourself. Die to yourself. I die daily, Paul said. Die now that you may live for Christ. So that you don't live on this little timeline that we're so manipulated by. And our feelings are adjusted according to, oh man, you know, when I was 20, I thought I had the life of it. Now I'm this age and I'm so bummed. Well, there's no reason to be bummed. God wants to use you. When you were 20, yeah, you were fast. Yeah, you did a lot, but you were trouble. You made bad decisions. You had to learn from those who were your age now. So at this age, don't retire. They need you. They need your wisdom. They need your counsel. But just know this, they're not going to listen, but they need it. So pour into the next generation. They're going to grow up one day and they're going to, oh man, I should have listened. I'm sounding like my dad. I'm sounding like my mom. Because God has a purpose and a role for each one of us. And you're never done. As long as he's blessed you with breath, he has a plan for you. You're to be used by him. You don't just come and sit in the pew or sit in the chair. Well, we've done our time serving the Lord. We need all ages. The church can use all age groups.
We are so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's study in the book of Hebrews. If you missed any part of today's teaching or would like to explore other Building on the Solid Rock messages, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You'll also find information about Pastor Troy and the church behind this ministry, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us for one of our weekly services. We meet Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. to worship Jesus and learn all we can from the Word. You'll find location information and driving directions at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us here at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek and find God's hand in your life and that you enjoy learning more about him every day. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the book of Hebrews, right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come.